Well, Monty was talking about, you know, before that fed the 5,000, you know. And see, seeing miracles don't give you faith. Seeing miracles don't happen. That's not where faith comes from. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of miracles in my life, but that ain't never what helps me through what I'm going through. I hardly ever remember them. But now, that Holy Spirit on the inside of me and you is the one, if we need to remember about the 5,000, he'll bring it. Or he'll bring up, David killed a bear and a lion, and this Philistine's nothing. I mean, he's used that stuff. See, God's been speaking this stuff to me for 2 or 3 days, that what I'm going to bring out maybe. I never know how I'm going to preach. I'm not one of them that gets line upon line unless he just anoints me for it. I just, whatever. But anyway, he's been dealing with this going off 2 or 3 days about the children of Israel being overthrown in the wilderness. Overthrown, if you look the word up, it means to be dethroned. It means to be defeated, depleted. It means to be, you know, the children of Israel, God didn't mean for that to happen to them. God give him his word like Jesus did. He brought out this morning and he said, go the other side. That there's enough power in that word to get through the storm to the other side. That because God spoke it. Jesus done spoke it. Go to the other side. I believe he might have knew there's a storm. How many knows that God knows things are going to come into our life? We are here to take up serpents. We are here to finish the works that Jesus started. So how could we not do it? He said he's commissioned us. Go in his name. Hallelujah. But you know what? We can be overthrown. You can be overthrown. You can be walking with God and you can be overthrown. You can get tired of not seeing God move. When you just simply got to walk by faith. God ain't going to move all the time just bam, 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 bam to keep you walking with him. He's not going to do that. He's gave you his word. He's gave you his promises. He's gave you his spirit. And he's gave you an anointing and gave you the grace of God to endure. Somebody say endure. Endure anything that comes into your life. Good, bad, ugly, family, non-family, enemy, praise God. There ain't nothing can move you if you are steadfast in God. I don't care what is portrayed out here. If God said he would supply all of our needs, well then that's what we're going to believe. That's what we're going to walk. When we feel weak, we're going to say that we're strong. We're not going to come out of our mouth. See, over there, they talked about Moses. But God said, I heard what you said, they're saying about me. See, God had sent Moses. You know the story. You know, and God had told him that. He even brought them out. The Bible says there was not one sick or weak among them. But they come out, I mean, just like teenagers today. Oh, I'm ready to leave home. You are dishonoring God. Y'all were quiet. And then you're pushing God out. I mean, you're saying, God, you give me the wrong parents with a bunch of rules, laws, and regulations. That's what happened to them in the wilderness. All of y'all teenagers, and I'm not just talking here. I'm all over the world. You might think that I'm nowhere, but I'm everywhere. You might think I'm a pattern for you, that God can take a 27-year-old broke, disgusted, broken life fella and put him around the world 20-something years later, I'm all over the world, and bring the prophetic into your life Wednesday night. And he prophesied things into your life Wednesday night. That was God. That was God. God giving you fuel. God giving you vision. He was speaking forward. He was speaking into your future. At the same time, all hell breaking loose in your life. God's not looking at all that hell breaking loose in your life. God is looking at His purpose and His plan for you. And when you go after Him and you ain't going to back down and you're going to do the will of God, hallelujah, then He keeps pouring in what you need. He keeps pouring in the future. So to speak, He keeps pouring out His anointing. He keeps increasing His grace. Amen. Travis told us one time. I mean, you got to watch that devil when you get teenage years. I mean, he wants to take you out, and he thinks because you don't have a lot of knowledge and you're going. He's debating. He's depending on you to go by your emotions. How you feel, what you want. That's what happened to them in the wilderness. And we as adults here, I mean, sure, I get tired 23 years. Sunday morning, Sunday night, practice. I mean, go come back Wednesday night, Sunday. I'm just telling you the truth, you know. Then the things that I have to deal with, this and that and food and blah, 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 and people that's unthankful. Well, I go up there. Now I'm gonna get on me just a minute. I'm not going to be overthrown. You got to make up your mind, friend, that you ain't going to be overthrown. You got the guarantee. Jesus sealed it at the cross, said it is finished, the guarantee. A better covenant than those children of Israel. Better covenant. He's in us. He don't just come on us. He don't just show up in a cloud. He's in us. Well, I go up there. Now, we are the biggest donors in the food ministry, okay? This food ministry has been going for about 15, 20 years. I don't know, long time. It's been going. I believed it in. We had nothing. I asked God, I said, God, how do we start it? He said, you go. He said, because I wanted just to go buy it, Johnny. I wanted it just to be done with. Let's take a big step. Let's don't go this slow way, God. Let us have it now. So I went through getting the building ready, and it wasn't the direction of God. It's because I wanted it my way. And then I didn't get to go that way, and I said, fine. I mean, I went and inspected this building, worked on this building. They come and sent their representatives, and I had to comply with all of their rules, Johnny, all of them, before they gonna let us buy food. And I go through week after week, and I don't know how long, you know. And I'm fixing to call on the last inspection. I'm done. And they're going to come, and God spoke to me before I could dial it. He said, that's not the way. See, sometimes you go in the wrong way, and He's going to stop you and say, this is not the way that I want you to do it. This is not the way. And so anyways, I says, well, God, why'd you let me go through all of this? He's silent. God don't answer stupid questions. God didn't tell me to go that way. That's just the way I thought He wanted to go. Because we can get the food cheap and all of that. You know, God didn't answer that stupid question. Now I'm learning at that point. I'm like, well, He's not going to answer me. He ain't answering me. That means I better just leave that alone. If I get quiet and don't answer you, you know I don't like it. I'll just shut up. I'll just walk on. I'll just get quiet. How many knows I learned that from my father? I learned that from God. He don't blow out a bunch of words. It's nonsense. He is sound. And He wants us to be sound. He wants us to be. But anyways, I go on and I say, okay, God. I said, I didn't have a tenter tantrum with God. Boy, I've wasted. That's what happened to them in the wilderness. they begin to complain. They complained about where they was at. They begin. Did you know that if you are a Christian, you don't belong to yourself? Do you know that God bought you with a price? You are not your own. Do you not know that God sees you in your hard place? He sees you in your where you're at. He's got you where you're at. But you can get up and you cannot go. You cannot go with Him. See, they kept going to church, so to speak, out in the wilderness. But the Bible says they turned back in their hearts. Their hearts wasn't connected, although they were still headed toward Canaan land. But you know what God did? He made them wander in that wilderness for 40 years. Some scholars say it was an 11-day walk, 11-day journey. They could have went straight across to the promised land. And because they were complaining and murmuring and griping all the time, God did not let them go in. See, we're no different than the children of Israel. God's not getting on to us. God is showing us through that. And I'll read to you in a minute where these were written as examples for us that we don't fall in the same category in the New Testament. So I told God, I said, well, God, I said, well, how do I do it, God? Ain't that a good thing to do? Proverbs 3, God, is it okay if I quit this job? See, complaining on your job is not okay with God. God gave you the job. God gave you the breath to breathe, to go get up, to go to work. God gave you vehicles to drive. God gave you, so complaining at work is the same way in the wilderness. Complaining about your marriage. Complaining about your kids, complaining about your church, complaining about your parents. I know y'all quiet, we're learning. See, Satan is trying to get you to overthrow yourself. He's trying to get you to do it because he does not have the power. We are bought by the blood of Jesus. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. God told me one time, he said, son, he said, Satan will try to use the ones close to you to overthrow you. He said he will try to use your wife if she will yield. He will try to use your son if he will yield. Travis Hart wasn't right up here singing on the heat. I know he don't care for me telling. I'm not telling to uncover him. He is a fine young man today. He loves Jesus. He's not perfect. He sounds a little arrogant when he talks to you sometimes. He's serious when he gets serious, but he loves Jesus. He loves Jesus. He was brought up hard. Ain't none of y'all teenagers got no more restrictions on your little life than Travis did. By gollies, I'm telling you. Ain't no way he'd crawl out a window. Buddy, he would not, that thought, he didn't even need Jesus to help him throw that thought out. He knew the consequences would not be, especially mom, you know. And so when teenagers, well, mom and dad, blah, blah, all these rules and regulations, I'm like, oh my God, I need to take him home with me. I mean, live a treat and tell her, you just 3M treat this sweetheart like you did Travis. A week and a half, baby, and you want to go back to your lovely daddy and mama. Probably wouldn't be a week and a half. Aubrey didn't want to. I'd like to live at Papa's. I'm like, you don't want to live out here. We got you one Tuesday night, then we'd have to be your parents, and it changes. Parents and grandparents changes. But anyways, I go to God. And the Bible says Proverbs 3, and 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to what you think. Don't lean to you don't like your boss. Don't lean to you don't like your teacher. Don't lean to you don't like the rules. I've got rules and regulations. I have to go to work every morning. I'm required by God to be on time. And everybody else just gets to be late. They want to. But every time I'm late, I feel convicted by the Lord. You know why? I asked the Lord, I said, what's up? I'm the boss. Why do I feel this? I'm the boss. I mean, I reckon I can do what I want to as long as it's not ungodly, God. And God said, yeah, but they're going to do like you do. You're going to teach them it's okay to be late. You're going to teach them. He said, with your being, he said, that's not okay with me. He said, I said, let your light so shine. He said, that means you're not the boss. But see, now when God's telling me this, I wasn't looking at God like, God, do you just hate me or what? You know, I'm looking at God and I'm saying, man, he's trying to lead me higher. He's trying to take me higher. So Travis, he's about 15. We'll get back to the food in a minute. We're still on. Y'all teenagers are getting it good. I mean, God wants you to shine. God wants you to be strong. God don't want you all jacked up. God wants you sound. God wants you going into manhood solid. God wants you to start out of the gate. I'm talking about, you know, fast and strong. And he don't want you jacked. Look at the teenagers out there that ain't following God. Look at them. Where are they? Where are they going? I don't know. I'm asking you. You know, if you're around the teenagers. Do they got vision or all they want is a nice chick? You know, or a nice truck or blah. They're not thinking. I mean, they're without God. And a lot of them, they're just leaving home. They want to leave home. God told me. I'm like, God, what do I do with Travis? He's already getting this mentality and his grandmother's helping him. You know, well, when you get 18, you're 16 or whatever she told him, you can come live with me. Because he's tired of the rules. He's tired of going to bed at 9 o'clock. He's tired of lights going off. He's tired he can't go get in the refrigerator when he wants to. He's tired he can't watch what he wants to on TV. He can't sleep all day long. He got to go pick up stuff in the yard. And so he's thinking in his mind. Satan's telling him in his mind, I'm getting out of this. I'm getting out of all these rules and regulations. And I've tried to be graceful with him and not just pound it, you know. And I said, God, what do I do with this, you know? He's got it made. You know, I'm thinking, God, how do I deal with it? And I'm using a backpack blower. And I'm praying in tongues and fasting. And I'm telling Satan, you ain't going to get my son. You're not going to get him. I wasn't telling my son what I was telling Satan, but I was telling Satan, you're not going to get my son. You are not going to jack him up. You are not going to take him out into the world. And I'm telling him all the things he ain't going to do to my son. And so when I got done, God said, he said, tell him. He said, go to him and tell him. Tell him that he's free. And Satan's wanting to bind him up. He said, go tell him he's already free. Now, I don't know what he's thinking at that time. I didn't live where there was too many restrictions, so I had to learn to be a father, not by my father, my natural father, see? That's why I was so rebellious, is because I didn't have no correction at home. And so you need it. You need corrected. All of us need corrected. God corrects us. And sometimes he used the word and preaching to correct us. Sometimes it's straight to us. Sometimes it might be somebody else say something that they don't know nothing about and to get our attention. Might be a sermon. But anyhow, I went and told Travis, I said, son, I said, the Lord told me to tell you that you're already free and Satan's trying to bind you up. I said, you stay long as you want to. You know, and then I told him, I said, we all have rules, son. If I don't pay the light bill, they turn them off. Therefore, I got to go to work. I said, all of us have guidelines. I said, they're not rules. Don't look at them as rules. Look at things as guidelines. The Bible says, the psalmist David said, Lord, your word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. God's word illuminates your life for you, praise God. Well, anyways, the Lord said, I want you to go down there to church. He said, and I want you to get all of those people that ain't got nothing. He said, and I want you to bring, put together once a week, what you gonna bring that week? You know, green can of green beans, can of pinto beans. And then the Lord told me, he said, and tell them to bring something they like. He went a little deeper. Tell them to bring something they like. Don't just give away what you don't like. See, that's sacrifice. See, if you're going to go higher in God and be strong in God and go somewhere, you're going somewhere, then you're going to have to learn to sacrifice your will at times. What you want, you've got to lay it down. You have to lay it down for Jesus sometimes. You've got to sacrifice your will at times. Well, I did that. I come and I told them how the Lord wanted to do the food ministry. And so we once a week, I would have to go out and find people to come to get it. A bag or two or whatever, you know. That lasted for just a little while. And God told me, He said, now, He said, I want you to give it away. He said, then stand on Luke 6:38. See, when you're following God, when He tells you something to do, He'll give you a word. He'll give you something in your heart scripturally, somehow in line with it, for you to hang on to, that it's going to be given. He said, now I want you to lay hold of Luke 6:38. It says, give and it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. So every time we would sow the bag or two bags, I would confess over it and I would speak over it and I would say it's coming back to us according to Luke 6:38. Pressed. Now we go get it in box trucks. Y'all don't even have to sacrifice your beans anymore. And then y'all get to eat of it. Drive around and get your groceries. But I had to go pick it up. And we're one of the biggest donors. I'm not just telling you a story. See, these things has got to be in you. You know, not just in church. You know, I mean, I've stepped up under an anointing of the youth pastor. Y'all young people, listen to what I'm telling you. I'm not drilling you. I'm under an anointing when I talk about you. I'm under an anointing, you know, that's your Father God giving me, because I don't know none of y'all. I don't know nothing. I don't want in y'all's mind, probably. Somebody told me one time, well, don't you want to know what people think? And I said, absolutely not. I do not want to know how they think. I'm going to keep my mind. That might warp me up. How can y'all think like that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, I'm your youth pastor. Praise God. Did you know that? I am your pastor, youth pastor. I'm pastoring you and your mom and them. I got two anointings on me. Praise God. See, God has anointed us not to be overthrown. He don't want you overthrown. That's why He don't want you complaining about your kids, even if they're doing wrong. Don't do it. Don't give Satan the satisfaction to speak what the Word says. That's what I was doing with the backpack blower. And fear trying to operate, you know, like Monty was talking about, oh God, what if he gets somebody pregnant out of wedlock. That's going to make my ministry look bad. My, 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 my. Oh, my God, what if he moves out? He's going to move in with Mama. That's the worst thing he could ever do. She won't never tell him nothing. Well, I cast all of them out. I cast them out. That's how you get rid of fear. The Bible says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear means to be timid, to be afraid of those storms, to be afraid of those winds. But He had done taught them not to. The disciples, see, believing is a choice, not based on what you see. That's why I drill that here. Teenagers, young folk, adults, listen, I'm teaching my 9-year-old granddaughter and my 6-year-old grandson these big, 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 big Bible words. They don't have a clue what they mean, and I don't have to have them to know what they mean. My God takes what His Word, and He says it what? Don't return void. He didn't say if they're sucking a pacifier or not. See, that's what confidence in God is. When you take and you're not looking at your present circumstances, you want to follow your Father, you want to do the will of God. I mean, and if you don't want to do the will of God, then maybe you ain't even saved. But if you are saved, you're not spending time with Him at all. Because the more that you spend time with Him thinking and talking and letting Him, asking Him what the direction for your life is, the more that you will want the will of God. You will have the will of God desires on the inside, a desire to be a good pastor, a desire to be an anointed pastor. I'm talking about me now. A desire not to quit you and not to give up on you. A desire to walk with you long as it takes, praise God. If you need help walking, you know. Travis has told me before, he said, God, Dad, I don't know how you walk with some of these people. I said, it's called the anointing. See, in faith, I want to do the will of God. God told me, He said, you want to know my will? He said, meet the needs of people. He said, meet the needs of people. I thought, I don't want to. Why can't I just go preach? See, being called to preach don't just mean get up here and speak a few words. It means work, W-O-R-K, all the time. But it's good. That work is the increase of God on the inside of you that comes on the inside of you, and it increases your outside life. That inside life increases your outside life. See, he said, look, put that up there. I think it's wherever it's at. Yeah, that's it. Let's read that before I run out of time here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. God stopped me there this morning. He said they, every one of them, drank from the same spiritual fountain. He stopped me there. I've read that numerous times. And then God spoke to me and He said, that's why I told you when you were on the streets down yonder, this is when I was 28 years old, He reminded me of something. He said, when you was on the streets and I was sending you to the homeless, He said, I was sending you to carry them Bibles and win them to me. He said, I was sending you to carry them food and clothes and gloves at Christmas. He said, and you told me, you left and you told me. You said, God, I've got two vehicles. I can sell one and give them. I can give them more. I don't have to have whatever it was. The Lord has started blessing men, Teresa, you know. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, what did I tell you? I said, Lord, you told me that they have the same Jesus, that they have the same God that I have. I said, He said, I was telling you that. He said, because I was starting to bless you and I was going to make sure you understood that everybody, all of y'all, every one of you and every one of y'all listening by way of whatever you're listening, everybody has the same Jesus. There is not but one Jesus. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God. And He is God of all of us. And there is nobody that cannot do what the other ones do. Because we all drink out of the same spiritual rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. So we have to put away all these excuses. I can't obey my parents. You're going to be forced to hard labor. The Bible says, the hand of the diligent, you know what the Word says. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command with promise. I don't care if you think they're stupid or not. It's got nothing to do with what God has asked me and you to do. I didn't honor my daddy, I was lost. And I have regrets today. I regret it. I regret how I treated my father. I wasn't saved. I lied to him. I wanted my will. He'd say, don't hot rod my truck. I was racing it every weekend. I borrowed money to go see Treason, and I wouldn't pay him back, like I said. But when I got born again, my dad's been gone 30 years, 35, somewhere along there. So if you've got a dad, you are super blessed. Or a stepdad, you are super blessed. A stepdad has to take a bigger role than the natural father. I mean, he's got to be under a special grace. Well, I couldn't see me marrying a woman with four kids. Good Lord, I'd kill them. They're not mine. See what I'm saying? But they love you just like you're their own. That's God. That is the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we all drink out of that same spiritual rock. There's no excuse for us to stay down to where we're up and down like roller coaster. I had to spit that one out somehow. Cola roaster. And you know why I know that? Because I was a roller coaster, Johnny, when I was 27, 28. I didn't know nothing yet. And so I'm going to church. I go tell my pastor, I say, I'm called to preach. And I was. He just wait on the Lord. I wanted to bust his teeth out. Wait on the Lord. I've been waiting on the Lord for 3 weeks. So I go home and I'm blah, blah, blah to Teresa. What the hell do they think he is? I know the Lord myself. I know he's called me. She's like, don't talk against the pastor like that. Well, see, what the enemy was wanting me to do is Johnny, get out from under that covering. He started trying to work on me to get me out of that fold, get me out of that fellowship. And really, I didn't realize it at that time, but he had my wife. And that's why Monty thanks his wife a lot of times right here in public, because she's helped him a lot. They'll do it. They're anointed for that. They're to help us. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, our wives will correct us quicker than anybody else will. I know Teresa will. I don't know about Samantha. And, I mean, I know I've heard Beth tell Travis, "You're going to hell." You know, y'all going to hell. Well, she's right. You know what she sees. See, and you know, and so God puts people in. But see, I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. Then I read the scripture one day where it says, receive not an accusation against an elder. I read that. I didn't know what it meant. I go to church and my pastor preaches on the scripture. And he said, see, he said, don't let people talk about me to you. He said, you know, don't let, got to watch what people say about your leadership and your parents and blah, blah, blah. He was bringing it all the way down to that. He said, because, see, if you receive something wrong, he said, then you're going to have to fight to receive from me or receive from whoever it is preaching and all that, you know. And it, I mean, it wasn't just a week or three later, somebody come to our house, knocked on the door on a Saturday evening, and come on in. They went to church with us, you know, and they sat there, and one of them said, have you heard what Brother Brad did? I said, hold on. I thought, this is an accusation, you know. See how the Bible makes you smart, and your pastor preaches on it, you know. And then I've lived it. Travis knows how to do it. It's not just he didn't pick all this up from Brad. He got it from Dad. Now he's getting a lot from other spiritual fathers he's hooking himself up with, and that's the way Mentrice's done our whole spiritual life, you know. And so I says, hey, I said, wait a minute. I said, don't say nothing else. I said, well, we'll wait for Brad. We'll wait to get church tomorrow, and we'll get Brad, and then you tell us. So I'm all happy. I'm like, yeah, praise God, we'll get this out in the open, you know, whatever. I'm not thinking it was going to be really bad. I didn't know what it was. And I don't, my curiosity, my pastor preached one time, and he said, curiosity killed a cat. Well, I wanted to say, come on, tell us. Tell us right quick. We'll pray for him or whatever. Maybe we can pray for him and all of that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to know. Praise God. I'm going to know in front of him. That way, you know, he can clarify something if he's something jacked up. Well, my main reason, I'm not going to receive anything you say. You're not even going to tell me because I'm not going to fight to go to church and then can't listen to my pastor over something you said. I just refuse to do it. I refuse. Men, Teresa, we won't. You ought not to tolerate that in this church. I'm not saying it's happening, but if it ever tries to happen, and it will, you stop it. Let that buck stop with you. When people go talking about your parents, you stop it. Don't tell them your dislikes about your parent with your buddies at school. They're not going to be with you for life. Your family is. Your family's going to be with you for life. When your buddies goes to say, I went to mom and I said, don't teach him that he can leave home. Mom, don't do that. Don't teach him when he's 18. I said, he's already wanting to leave home, Mom. I said, we're trying to keep him in God here. I said, so don't teach him that. So Trevor, now I get 18. So I went to him. I said, yeah, when you get 18, you go move in with Mamaw. I said, you're going to pay me $50 a week. What? $50 a week? What for? I said, you're not going to freeload off your Mamaw. I said, you're going to go live with Mamaw, then you're going to pay me $50 a week. I bet he was just happy. Went off kicking his heels up. I bet you he was. No, it busted his bubble. It busted that satanic vision. Satanic vision. Somebody say satanic vision. Anytime the enemy tries to get you to rebel against authority, it is a satanic assault. It is a satanic assault. Anytime the enemy wants, whether that authority is right or wrong, it's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with your heart. It's got to do with your integrity. It's got to do with your strength. It's got to do with your power in God. That's what it's got to do with. I'm tempted all the time to bash these false doctrine, some of the preachers on TV, some of it. I would like to come here, but that's not. I'm going to mind my own business. And it would pay you to mind your own business. Don't judge. Don't cast sentence on nobody. Live your life. The Bible says, in all that lies in you, live peaceable. I started honoring my mother. I told God, I said, God, I didn't have the chance to honor my father, and I sure do regret it. Actually, he co-signed with me one time, trying to help me up in life, and I wasn't making the payments, and I thought, I wish he'd just die, and I wouldn't have this problem. He died. Not because I said that, I mean, but those never know, man. But you know what? I've lived with that. I've lived with that. Now, I've got peace with God and all of that, but I wasn't going to make my... See, you've made mistakes, and you can't change your past, but you can change your... You're in control of your future. And so I told God, I said, God, I didn't take the opportunity to honor my dad. I said, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to honor my mother. And me and my mom didn't have a real good relationship. She liked to whoop me with a belt buckle instead of the belt. But I was real rebellious, Johnny. She's whooping me one time, and I said, you're not going to make me cry. Whack, over the back and everything. And I just stand there. I'll die before I cry. I just stand there. I turn around one time. I said, are you through? She's wore out. I said, are you through? You through? I told you I wasn't going to cry. You ain't going to make me cry. You know, rebellion. You know, so we didn't have a real close relationship up to the point to where I got born again. But the Bible told me to honor my mother and father. And I couldn't honor my father, but I still could honor my mother. And then I read and it says, this is the first command with promise. I thought, man, this is something God's wanting me to do, and it's going to bring goodness into my life. It's going to bring satisfaction into my life. You know what? And I brought glory to my mama in her last days because I was an honorable son. She was proud to call me her son. I mean, she knew if she had any danger come into her life, like going to nursing homes or something like that, or hospital or whatever, she's calling me up, Johnny. And she'd set me down in there and make me, she'd say, you promised me now. You promised me now. And I'd tell her, Mom, I promise you. I promise you that'll not happen. That's what you want. That's your will. I said, I'll carry your will out, no matter what it costs me. I even went to my sister one time. They want her to put her in a nursing home. And that's one of the things I promised her. You know, the rest of them didn't take time and don't guess, sit down and see what Mama wanted. But I knew what Mama wanted. And if Mama wanted to live, well, you're going to live as long as you want to, because I'm going to use my faith and you use yours and God will do His job. And if you get ready to go home, Mom, I'll let you go. You can go and be with Jesus. You know. And so one of my sisters one time, she done gone on to be with the Lord now. But you know, it's a burden when they get up and you have to help them. If you're not careful, it can be a burden to you. You know. But they laid their life down for us. Their life, if it's 2 or 3 or 5 years, it's temporary. It'll be over, you know, and then you'll be happy. Well, my sister, we needed to put Mother in the nursing, blah, blah, blah. I waited till they all got done. I stood up and I said, don't ever tell me that again. I said, don't ever, see what I'm saying, your family. You make choices towards God not based on your family. How they act, how they think, what they, then she meant no ill will. She just, Mom would be better off. And that's your emotion. That's her emotions and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I said, don't ever say that again to me. I said, my mother, I made a promise to your mama and my mama that I would never let her go in the nursing home unless she is completely out of her mind and she don't know nobody. But she's still alive. And so my sister said something. I said, you better get you a good lawyer. I said, because before she will go to a nursing home, I said, I will spend everything I've got and sell everything I've got, and she will not go to a nursing home. So how much money do you want to spend? And then I come and I said, because now you are not against your brother, you are against God. And you cannot fight against God. You won't win. Now, why am I saying that? I'm not just telling you a story, praise God. I'm telling you that I set out to honor my mother and I did it to the end, baby. I did it to the very end. I'm the last. She looked up at my sister. She said, I'm fixing to preach that Sunday morning. She looked up at my sister and she says, tell Scotty I love him, and went on to be with the Lord. God honored me. See, you honor your parents. You don't have to like it there. If I lived at home with my dad and he's drawing $700 a month like he did, all he drawed, and what I know now, black God, and I still lived at home, I'd find me a part-time job and I'd pay $100 a week real easy. I'd help my parents out. I would. I'm not telling y'all to do it, but if y'all smart, man, I mean, do it. Why not do it? Well, they don't need the money, blah, 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 I want this and that. And that's how you get it. Praise God. I got to stop. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. I got to say this before I close. God don't want us complaining about our jobs. He won't let me complain in the garage door business, Johnny. He stops it. He stops me from complaining. I went to pick up the food, and we're the biggest donors out of 28 or 9 ministries. We give the biggest offering every month. And so I go up there. I'm sorry, man. I mean, we ain't got, you know, we only going, well, you seen what we got? Run out of food, you know. And I looked at her. She's only been there about a year. The guy that I dealt with, he's gone now. He died. But anyways, I looked at her and I said, listen to me. I said, I want you to take this to heart. I said, I've been in this ministry, getting from this ministry for a long time, way before you got here. I said, I want you to take this to heart. I said, so that Satan can't use this on you no more. I said, I don't buy food from y'all. I said, I want you to understand something. I don't buy this food. I said, God told me to send this offering first of the month, whether I get food or not. I said, this is an offering. I said, and that's not going to be based on whether I get food or not. I said, God said to send it whether I get food or not. I said, and I told Larry, and I'm telling you, you know, if any church gets cut back, let ours be the first one. You know, let us be. I said, because you are not my supply. You are not our source, and you can't take care of us. I said, and Satan will use that. I said, I'm telling you this to free you up. Don't you even think. I said, this is what I have to do in these kind of times. I said, if you call me up and you say we've only got one can of green beans, I said, I would appreciate you telling me because I won't drive the 24-foot box truck. I said, but I'll get in my pickup. I'll come up here and I'll get the one can of beans. I said, and I'll praise God all the way back to my church with it. She said, oh my God, could you preach to all these other churches? I said, no, ma'am, I won't. I said, that's not my duty. I said, but your duty is to stay out of fear. I said, you are never supposed to worry. I can't help it. I said, that's not what your Bible says. I said, the Bible says, don't worry. I said, you are not supposed to worry. I said, anytime you are not casting your care on the Lord, you're going to worry. And you're going to get in fear. What if they blah, blah, blah? What are they going to say? I said, now you're becoming a people pleaser. I said, you're worried about what the people say. I said, that's ungodly. I'm going to have him go up there and preach, Johnny. You know? And I said, y'all cut me back before you cut other churches. I said, I'm fine with that. I said, because I've done learned how to praise God in the small. I've done learned to praise Him when there ain't enough. You got to learn this. Learn to praise Him when things ain't going good. Learn to praise Him when you don't feel good. I didn't want to come to church this morning. I've been majorly sick at my stomach since about 6 o'clock this morning. You know? I don't feel it now. I'm going. I told the Lord this morning, I said, God, I said, I'm going in your strength. I'm going in your power. I'm going in your anointing, God. And I praise you, God, that anointing and that power changes things in my life. I'm changed. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And I pray over all.